Well, we're going to continue our study and our focus in Romans chapter 6. We're going to finish up the chapter today and look at verses 15 through 23. Paul has been comparing and contrasting a legal way of living righteously compared to a grace-driven way, you might say, living out life through the grace of Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, where Paul asked, are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? And the idea being, should we continue living sinful lives and just living the way we are? Because since grace abounds all the more than sin, the more we sin, the more grace there will be. And so we looked at his arguments for why that's not such a good idea 2 weeks ago. And today in verse 15, he asks another question that the verses 16 through 23 then answer. So let's look at these verses this morning. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. But for just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, you might look at this question that Paul presents and say, that's just a ridiculous question. Who would really say such a thing? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? And especially since he just got done telling us, don't present your members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. That sin won't be master over you if you follow Jesus Christ. So if sin isn't going to be master over us, why would we then just continue to sin? Why should we just sin because we're under law, or not under law, but are under grace? It's not such a crazy question. And the best kind of a real world or another example or illustration of that attitude that I could think of would be a student, probably on the university scale of things, could be a high school student, that goes through a semester of a class and is coming up upon the final. And throughout the semester has averaged pretty much a high B grade average. You know, a high B average. Maybe you're sitting right at an 88 or an 87. You've gotten as high as an 89, as low as an 85. And your grade for that semester is sitting right there at a high B. And maybe, depending on, some of you might never have thought of this, and I hope those of you who are going through college or maybe you're in high school going to be going there, you won't consider doing this, but just maybe the industrious student who has a lot of other classes and other finals to take and who maybe is borderline in another class looks at that one class and says, you know, I've averaged a high B. I would have to get on my final a 97 just to get an A. But I can walk out of that final with a 43 and I'll still have a B. Why study for that class? I've got these other classes to study for. I will show up on the day of the final, and with the knowledge I've retained, if I get out of there with a 43, I'm still sitting on a B. I'm good. And I think that's kind of the attitude that Paul's getting at here. I'm good. I've got Jesus Christ. Why put in the extra effort to get an A? I'm sitting on a B. I'm clean sailing right now. I can take that home and my parents will never know I got a 43 or a 46 on the final. All they'll see is I got a B in the class, and that's good enough. And we can kind of get this mentality with the Christian life. Why put in the extra effort? Why try to kick it up a notch? I can just coast. And I think that's kind of the attitude he's getting here is, shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? The attitude of, I don't have to work at it anymore. I've got grace, so why bother trying? Why not just live? Go ahead and sin. Don't worry about it. He says, you know, should we do this? No, let's not. May it never be. May God forbid that we would do this. And then he goes about in verses 16 through 22 to make his arguments of why we shouldn't live that way. Of why the idea of coasting through the Christian life doesn't work. And he basically does it by showing that there are two different ways of living. There is to be enslaved to sin, or there is to be enslaved to God in righteousness. The person that wants to say, I am free and I can do whatever I want, is delusional. You are going to be enslaved. You are going to serve one or the other. You're either going to serve sin and your sinful desires and sin's desires in your life, or you're going to serve God. And it's kind of like when Jesus said, you know, he who is not for me is against me. You can't be neutral. If you're neutral, you're against. You can't sit back and wash your hands and say, I'm out of it. You either love God or you don't love him. The attitude of, well, I'm indifferent to him doesn't work. If you're indifferent, that's worse than hate. So we've got the option. We can either live, and maybe sometimes that word slave kind of catches us up. But in Paul's time, a slave, you know, people that were in debt could sell themselves as slaves to get out of debt. To be a slave wasn't quite the barbarous behavior that we had on our own continent. Sometimes slaves were actually honored. That's why when Paul talks about being a slave, that a slave could be entrusted with the entire household, but they're still not an heir. And so he likes to show us that not only are we slaves to Christ or slaves to God in righteousness, but we're also children and therefore heirs. But here he's saying that we're either going to serve, we are either going to spend our lives serving sin or serving God. And the question is which one are we going to serve? And so he begins in verse 16 by saying, don't you know that when you present yourselves to someone as a slave for obedience, that you are slaves of the one you obey? And basically, you know, to present yourself is not to do. You can step up and say, I'm going to do this. That's presenting yourself. That is completely different than actually serving. Jesus pointed this out in a parable when he said that a father went to his oldest son, or went to his two sons, and said to them, go out and work in the field. And the first one said, I won't. The second one said, I will. Later on, the first one repented of his attitude and went out and worked in the field. The second one never went. It didn't matter what they said they were going to do. What really mattered is, what did they do? You can present yourself to Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to follow you. But you know, you're really a slave of the one you obey. It's not just presenting yourself. You're really a slave of the one whom you obey. Whether it's sin resulting in death, or that you obey in obedience resulting in righteousness, obedience to God. It doesn't matter what we declare. What matters is, how do we act? What's the result? And if we obey sin, if we live for sin, then that's who we are a slave of. Or we can present ourselves to God, and then we can obey him, and then we're slaves of him in righteousness. And that word obey means to open up the door to somebody, or to hear them, to listen for them, and to respond, that you do their bidding. And so Paul says to them, thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And he's basically saying, you guys used to be sinners. You used to be a slave to sin. Everybody on the face of this earth, except for Jesus Christ, at one point in their life, and maybe for their entire lives, were slaves to sin. All you got to do is take little kids. And I know this probably bothers us, but what we might call precocious or what we might think is just cute, it's all wrapped up in sin. And a lot of that behavior, and then they put that cute little face on you and you give in to them anyway. A lot of it's selfishness. A lot of it's, I want my own way. Nobody ever has to teach a kid how to be bad. You have to teach them how to be good, right? They're sinners. We're all slaves to sin. And Paul, writing to the Romans, says, thanks to God. If it wasn't for God, you'd still be this way. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, though you used to be enslaved to sin, though you were obedient to sin, now you have become obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. The teaching that he has presented to them, that they were committed to, just as we might dedicate a baby to God. We're saying this is what we're going to strive for. And it starts in the heart. It's not behavior. It's a heart change. Sometimes people can learn behavior and they're just sinning in a different way. And you know, it's easy for us to kind of harp on very visible sins or the what I might call the juicier sins, you know, the stuff that we all love to hear about other people's sins. You know, there are really boring sins out there. There's self-righteousness. There's just being ugly to other people or nasty or harboring bad thoughts. It doesn't always have to be steamy sin. It doesn't have to have edge. Some of the greatest sin that Jesus confronted was not, I mean, let's face it, he ran around with a lot of prostitutes and tax collectors. The really hard sins that Jesus came up with were the righteous sins. The Pharisees and their self-righteousness and they're so good. And the way they put other people down. That was a sin that he couldn't overcome in the sense of getting people to see their own sin. So the sin isn't just the juicy stuff. It's not just the steamy stuff or the things that make a good testimony. Sin can be the boring stuff. That's just the selfish, I'm in charge, I'm going to rule. And so you can easily change your behavior. Stop using words. Stop behaving certain ways. But if it doesn't start in the heart, all that is really just a surface change. If the heart's still sinful, if the heart still has a desire to do their own things, you're still being ruled and obeying sin. So here he's saying it's a change of obedience that came from the heart and is focused now on Jesus Christ and following him. And he says in verse 18 that having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. It's a change. It's one or the other. There's no in between. They were slaves of sin. Now they're slaves of righteousness. And so he explains them. Now I'm speaking to us. He's speaking to us in human terms because we're kind of weak. We can't understand things as well as we might need to. And so he says, just as you presented yourselves as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness. And what happens when you do that? You get more lawlessness. You present yourself to sin and to impurity and to acting against God, and you create more ungodliness, more lawlessness. But the funny thing is that when you present yourself to God for righteousness, what you get is more righteousness. As you obey God, as you follow him, he says, now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. That word sanctification means to grow in righteousness. When you become a believer, you're saved. They have a big word for that called justification, that you're justified in God's eyes because of who Jesus Christ is. You can be the greatest sinner on earth. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're justified. Jesus Christ's righteousness is credited to you as being just. But then being justified is you start to grow in Christ. And God starts pointing out areas in your life that he is not pleased with. And he starts giving you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to overcome those, and a heart change where you desire not to live that way. As you change, that's called sanctification. Justification's a once and done. Sanctification's a process that doesn't get finished until you're resurrected in a new body. And so he says that just as our being slaves to sin, to impurity, to lawlessness, results in even further and greater lawlessness, it just compounds, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and you create more and more and more. The same is true for righteousness. As you follow God, as you're a slave to him in righteousness, and you desire to live righteously, righteousness grows in your life. Then he says something really interesting. He says in verse 20, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." And what this is really is basically the exact opposite of what we said 2 weeks ago about being not being under grace, not really having to worry, that we're dead to sin, that it no longer reigns over us. You know, when you were a slave to sin, you were free from righteousness. You didn't have to be righteous. The idea of righteousness isn't even on your mind if all you care about is living for yourself. Because righteousness is about doing what God wants and living for God. So when people are sinners, when they're living for sin, they could care less. They're free from righteousness. And what Paul is even saying is, you know, just as a believer who continues to sin doesn't work, a sinner just isn't righteous. They're free from it. A person who's obedient to sin, who is a slave to sin, they're free from righteousness. You know, you can't really hold that kind of a standard over them. They have no ability to fulfill it. They're dead to it. You have to become alive to Christ to become alive to righteousness. And so it's the same thing. He's saying, you know, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You didn't have to live up to the standards. You couldn't. You failed. You were living up, and your focus was living up to sin. But he says, but what benefit were you getting? What short-term gains do we get from sin? Maybe a little bit of pleasure. Maybe a little bit of joy. You can get monetary benefits, I guess, depending on the type of sin. I'm sure there can be a lot of things that we could say that's beneficial. If nothing else, just to say I did it my way. It's mine. I had to do it because that's who I am. What benefit do we get from sin? There's always a next day. You might have the satisfaction of really giving somebody a zinger that puts them in their place. But then you got to live with it, don't you? And then you got to figure out, do I need to ask for forgiveness for that? You got to live with it. There might be regret later. What true benefits do we get from sin? That word benefit means fruit. What fruit do we develop? Is it healthy? Is it nutritious? Does it help us to grow? Says, you know, hopefully, and I think it's neat that Paul assumes that we would be ashamed of our sin in the past, how we used to live. He says, what benefit were you deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. He says, what benefit, what fruit does it produce? Maybe you can enjoy it for a little bit, but the end result, the long-term results, are death. What benefit is there in that? They says, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, we derive our benefit. We get real fruit. We get fruit that results in sanctification. And the outcome, the long-term results, are eternal life. So he's basically saying, what do you want in life? Do you want maybe a little bitty short-term gain that feels good, but you have regrets and results that are not good? That you have to live with, and the end result of it all is death. It's kind of like death by chocolate, right? I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes I can gorge myself on sweets. If the bag's closed, I can pretty much keep away from it. But if that bag's open, those sweets are gone. And then you kind of feel sick afterwards. And yeah, you gain pounds. And if you live that way, over time, you'll die from it. And was it really worth it? What benefit did I gain? Well, it tasted good, but I got cavities. Well, it tasted good and it lifted my mood, but then my mood slumped again when the effects wore off. Well, it tasted good, but now it's harder to get around, and now I sweat more because I've got fat all over my body. Well, it tasted good, but now I've got to get a bypass, and now I've got to go into surgery, and now I can't eat food for a couple of days, and now I'm not allowed to eat the things I want to eat. I'm going to eat them anyway, and now I'm going to have more health problems. It just continues to grow. But instead, the benefits from being enslaved to God is that we derive the fruit of righteousness and we grow in its sanctification. And the result, the end result that it all builds up to is eternal life with Jesus Christ. And what Paul is getting at there is he's going back to that question, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And basically what he's saying is these two things do not go together. Yeah, you're under grace. You're not under law. You are forgiven for your sins that you commit. That doesn't mean we just go ahead and sin. Because if we're slaves to sin, if we follow it, the end result is dead, and there's no real good benefit from sin. The things that we feel like are benefits, that maybe it feels good, or maybe we felt justified or deserving of hurting somebody else, or we get something out of it, they're not even really truly benefits. They're not life-giving, life-altering benefits. And so he says, his conclusion is, the wages of sin is death. The result, what you get for sin, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wages are something you earn. A free gift, grace, is something you're given. They don't go together. Grace and sin do not go together. Grace cancels out sin. Sin is about wages and death. Grace is about freedom and life. So the idea that because grace abounds more, we can sin more, that doesn't work. And the idea that since we're under grace and we're not under law, we can sin, doesn't work. It's a question of who do we serve? Who do you serve in your life? Who do you focus on when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed? There's a conversation in the old Russell Crowe movie Gladiator. I guess it's not old, but by today's standards, you know, it's old. Things a month ago are old nowadays. But his emperor has asked him to take over the control of Rome when he dies. And he's talking to his servant, to his slave, who serves him day and night. And he says to his slave, do you enjoy your work? You know, what do you do? And the slave says, sometimes I do what I want to do. Most of the time, I do what I'm told to do. It was his responsibility to make sure that Maximus always had his stuff ready. He did not get to choose when he woke up. He did not get to choose when he went to bed. His entire focus of his life as he lived as a slave was, what does my master want next? And sometimes there were brief glimpses in his life where he actually got to choose what he did. But it was rare. And they were far between. It's not about our behavior. It's not about making sure you do it right. But it is a question of who's on our mind. Who's in our heart? Is Jesus Christ on our mind? Is He in our heart? Are we concerned about serving Him? Is He filling up our thoughts that we desire to please Him? Or are we on our hearts? Are we on our minds? Are our days filled with what will please me? What do I desire? That's obedience to sin. We just think it's all about us. But anytime we take God out of His place and we put ourselves in His place, that's sinning against Him. Anytime we say, I know better than He does, that's sinning against Him. So it's a question of who do we focus on? Who do we serve? Ourselves or God? You can't do both. Just like Jesus said, you can't have two masters. You can't serve God and money. Here Paul is saying you can't have two masters. You can't serve sin and God. And so either sin will increase in your life, and I don't think anybody here has to work at making sin increase in your life, do you? It kind of comes naturally, right? Either sin will increase in your life, or righteousness as you follow God will increase in your life. And here's the great thing about that. You don't have to work too much at that either. It's a change of the heart and your desires. If our heart and our desire is to serve God, we'll slip and we'll fall and we'll struggle and we'll have to work at it a little bit. But the real change God will do in our lives for us, as we follow Him, as we desire to serve Him, we will grow in righteousness. Because that's His desire for us, and He's given us the Holy Spirit to do that in our hearts. But the idea that we can serve God and we can be good followers of Him and just give ourselves over to sin, they're not compatible. They don't go together. And lots of times in our hearts, it feels like sin's more powerful, doesn't it? Sin keeps knocking at the door. Sin gets louder and louder. And one of the things that annoys me a little bit about God, if you can accept that I could say that, is that He seems to get quieter and quieter. He doesn't push Himself on us like sin does. He loves us so much, He gives us a lot more freedom than sin ever gives you. But if you will desire to follow Him and to seek Him out, if you just wake up wondering and thinking about Him and He's on your heart, the great thing is that God gets louder and louder and louder, and it's easier to hear Him, and it's easier to follow Him, and it's easier to serve Him because you're growing in righteousness. Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but because we're under grace? No. May it never be. They don't go together. If you give your life over to sin, you will die. If you give your life over to God, you will live eternally in Christ Jesus our Lord. But you got to choose. You got to choose. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your word. And we thank You, Father, that You give us the means, not just the goal, but the means to live out the goal of righteousness through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes the life can be difficult. Striving for righteousness can be difficult. Sometimes we put too much of the focus on ourselves, that we have to do it. And we ignore the fact that Your Son has already done everything for us. And we just merely need to live in Him. So often we just regress back to sin. Father, we pray that it would be our desire in our hearts to serve You, to follow Your Son, to grow in Him and to become more like Him. We pray, Father, that it wouldn't be a focus on our efforts or how hard we try, but really that would just be a closer walk, that we would continue to walk with You. And that as we walk with Your Son, that change would start happening in our lives and that our desire would be for more. We pray, Lord, that if anyone here has a desire to hold on to their old life, to obey sin, to be a slave to sin. We pray, Father, that you would give them the desire, the courage, and the strength to be transformed, to be renewed and changed into your children, into your followers. We pray and we ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.